welcome back to another edition of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. I am, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great America Media and Services. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites. That's coachad.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com. And be sure to follow all of our brands on Twitter. That's coach_AD. That's at train condition and at winning hoops. And then myself, as always, if you'd like, at Wesley Sykes _. And just a quick housekeeping note before moving forward with our guest today. For those in the sports medicine profession looking to earn CEUs, training and conditioning does offer opportunities to earn those CEUs through reading our digital editions and of each issue, I should say, and then taking a short quiz about what you learned. So simply select the continuing education tab on training-conditioning.com and follow the connecting link to get started. But now that we have that out of the way, we'd like to welcome to the program Zachary Shank, the athletic director of Neuse Christian Academy in North Carolina and coach and athletic director's Sports Under 40 September honoree. So thank you for taking the time to join us here today, Zach. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely, Wesley. I appreciate you guys extending the invite and allowing me to jump on here with you. And overall, doing well. We just got back from fall break, so we had a four-day weekend this past weekend. So I guess I should be feeling fresh and ready to go. But, you know, I guess we're never quite ready to jump back into the swing of things after a long period of break. But ready to get going. I appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. Nothing, a little cup of coffee, right? And a little extra coffee and caffeine won't fix there. But of course, we gave you the nice title there of the athletic director of Neuse Christian Academy. But tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the athletic administration industry.
Yeah, so honestly, I had no desire to take this route, which is kind of typically how it goes.
Sure.
Had a different path planned out, and it just didn't work that way. When I finished up playing basketball down in Florida, my coach looked at me and said, "Hey, you know, what do you think about coming on and just working on staff with us as you finish up your degree?" And I had my internship and everything left for my education side of things. And so I said, "Yeah, I'll jump in," and kind of became that without the title, I guess you'd say, that graduate assistant, you know. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of got a little bit more official. And so I jumped on staff and was kind of like looking on how he did things and how it went and everything. And of course, my minor was sports administration, but that's just because it was an easier minor. You know, I'm not going to lie to him.
I appreciate the honor here. That's what we want, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, I enjoyed sports. I, you know, played basketball all throughout high school, played 4 years of college basketball. Like, sports were my avenue of release and things like that. So I was like, well, let me take some classes on it in school. Mm-hmm. And so my minor in sports administration. And by the time I got ready to officially graduate and did my internship, I was like, yeah, this is the direction that I want to go. And so I was on staff there at the college in Florida for about 4 years, from about 2012 to about 2016. And kind of learned and kind of figured out what I wanted to do and took that route. Now, in 2014, I began teaching mm-hmm. at a school there in Florida. And I applied for strictly a history teacher position. It was nothing outside of that. If I had an opportunity to work in athletics, you know, I would have. But I knew going into it that they did not have an official athletic program. Mm-hmm. They were a fairly new private school. There was, you know, quote unquote, the plans to start athletics. And when the head of school got my information, you know, she's looking at everything and she's like, "Hey, let's take the route. Let's put your degree to work here." And I'm like, "Okay, sure." So, you know, that's kind of the route. I mean, that's how I got into it. I mean, I joke with it that, you know, I literally got thrown into it and was handed the keys to the kingdom in the athletic department and had no idea what I was doing at the age of 24 years old. Right. You know, I get this opportunity to establish an athletic program. So overall, you know, I kind of jumped forward there a little bit, but getting into athletics was something that I'd always done. I'd always played. I'd always been a part of teams. Something that just was instilled in me by my parents at a young age. And it just progressed, you know, playing throughout high school, playing in college and having good leaders and mentors as coaches that now, you know, I get the opportunity to call them my friends. Mm-hmm. They really helped, you know, kind of shape and mold me into an opportunity or into this direction and give me the opportunity to work in athletics.
I find that amazing. I mean, you talk about kind of living out the definition of trial by fire, right? And I think sometimes that's probably the best way to do things. You know, you will definitely probably make some mistakes along the way, but you learn from them and you hopefully correct them on there. But how big of a moment was that for you? Yeah, did you really know what you were getting into, or the enormity of taking on an athletic program, and just how big of a school was it, and how many sports did you offer?
Yeah, so I guess when I'm offering sports, we didn't offer any at first. So they're looking at me like, hey, what are we going to do? And so, you know, I'm looking at them like, all right, what are our easiest options? And first of all, I had never really, besides just being an assistant coach at a college, I had never had anything to do with high school sports. I haven't even coached in high school sports. I've been to a, you know, obviously I played in it, so I can kind of remember the process and things like that. But I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a mentor as an athletic director because I didn't start out as an assistant and all this other stuff like some people do today. But I'm in there. We're talking. They're like, hey, here's the plan. You know, start your athletic department. Here's this, here's that. Now, granted, it was a private school. So we had some opportunities that maybe not everybody would have. We had some possibilities there. But we also had some major hurdles that we had to get through. And so we didn't have on our campus, we had no facilities. So we had to immediately I have to jump in and begin kind of looking for facilities within our surrounding areas of where we can get to practice. And so the first major sports that we went with were girls volleyball in the fall, because that's what they play. They play them in the fall in Florida, and was boys and girls basketball in the winter. Those are my three like major sports that can bring revenue, that can bring a lot of things to the table, but they're also, you know, in a sense, they're relatively easy to get a team together.
You just have a gym, a couple of jerseys, or a basketball or volleyball.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So that was the direction that we went with. And obviously as I progress through the story here, you'll see kind of where things went. My head of school wanted football. And I told her, I said, look, I said, after sitting down here, kind of looking where we are, I'm 1 year in, I'll give you football within my 5-year plan. That's the best I can do. Mm-hmm. And in Florida, we have, and it's very similar to Texas, and even here in North Carolina, we have 6- and 8-man tackle football leagues.
Right.
And very recognized, you know, across the state, and you know, great organizations and programs that are ran through there. So I said, you know, if we're going that way, we're not going 11. We would go 8-man or 6-man, depending on travel and things like that. And to kind of put in perspective of our size of our school, we had roughly almost 200 in high school. So we were not huge. We were basically, I think in Florida, they've reclassified since I've been gone, but we were 1A, which we'd now be considered 2A, which is your smallest level school in the Florida High School Athletic Association. And so that was our equivalent. And so we went with volleyball, and we got volleyball up and off the ground. We started within our middle school program just to kind of help build. And as the girls graduated and went to the next level, that team could go with them.
Sure.
So we start out middle school, then we want to push to the JV side. As we build and we maintain that middle school team, then we add a JV team. Then we add those, maintain those two, and then we want to add varsity. For the basketball side of things, we jumped right into varsity. We went straight for it. Obviously, with starting out middle school as well, we just missed the JV side of things.
Sure.
We had enough in the high school that they wanted to jump in, and I felt like not giving them the option was kind of doing those players and those students a disservice. So we went ahead and offered a varsity opportunity for them on the varsity for basketball, girls and boys basketball. And we were had a really good first season. The first major thing that I did was hired a guy for coaching basketball and brought him in. And he basically, I talked to my head of school. I said, hey, here's the deal. I said, he's here every day. He's working with me. As soon as he gets off work, he comes to the school. He's doing this, he's doing that. Come to find out, he had his teaching certification. So he had everything that he needed to get a job at the school. I just needed them to make sure that they could figure it out. And so they made some adjustments. They hired him in the middle of the school year, brought him in. He was immediately put in as assistant athletic director, and he ran our basketball department. And so that was a huge help.
Oh, wow. Yeah, having that really, support.
Absolutely. And we didn't know each other prior to this. It was just kind of that thing. And we had people tell us all the time, you know, you guys look like you guys have been friends since y'all were, you know, children. Mm-hmm. And we just worked really well together. You know, we still talk today. He's at a different school now. He's a head athletic director at another school there in Florida as time kind of progressed and as we changed roles and schools. You know, but he's doing his thing, and he came in and he kind of went through our basketball department, kind of managed our basketball department. But the biggest thing was just bringing him in and helping lighten that load. Because the major thing was getting everything situated, transportation, because we're not on school. We didn't have a gym on school campus. So we're having to drive and transport for practices and games and things like that. And so it was an interesting time. It was stressful. I mean, we're talking like 12 to 15 hour days, depending on how it went. And you know, and you're starting things out. You're also the bus driver. You're also the van driver. You're this, you're that. And, you know, sometimes the public school ADs, you know, they get an opportunity where they're starting out inside the public school and they'll never see this side of the private school side of things. And then you get, you know, your private school ADs are like, yeah, I can relate to that. I did that. I drove the bus for this team, or I did that for this team. And so, and that's what it came down to is, you know, we always joke in private education that we wear many hats. And man, I wore so many hats that year. On top of, I got married in 2015, so my wife had, our schedules had to adjust for it as well.
Yeah.
And it was a big adjustment. But it was fun. And honestly, I do my best learning by being thrown to the fire. And you talked about trial by fire. I mean, I made some mistakes, and I made a lot of mistakes, and mistakes that I don't even want to mention, because I'm sure someone would be like, this guy's still in education. But we made a lot of mistakes, mainly because I didn't know. At 24 years old, you're getting somebody who's going to come in as a PE teacher who might be like a second assistant to the AD, and he's going to work his way up. And by the age of like 35 to 40, he's going to finally land that opportunity. I'm 24 years old. I've been out of college for 2 years. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no mentors. I had no head athletic director to lean on or anything like that. I'm legit just trying to figure things out as I go along. And same thing with my assistant as well. I mean, we're both looking at each other. We're the same age, and you know, we're trying to figure things out. So trial by fire, it's good, but there were some bad things that happened, but it was fun. And I learned a lot of things to do and a lot of things not to do.
Yeah. Well, I think going through it again, you know, you may be learning it the hard way, but it's definitely going to stay with you more than I got away with something here, and maybe I shouldn't have done, you know, something along those lines. Right. I think that's probably a great way to learn. Maybe like I said, the hard way or the other. But I also understand you coach the girls basketball team as well here. Right. For News Christian Academy.
Yeah. So I'm the varsity girls basketball coach. Took over 4 years ago. So when I first came here, and that's one of the positive things about being on the private school side, is your workload is great sometimes, especially when it comes to the athletic director side of things, but also it still allows you and gives you that opportunity to jump in there and coach. You know, a lot of public schools, programs and associations do not allow you to do that. And it's something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy coaching, getting in there. I'm still competitive. I still want to win and everything. And that kind of gives me my little bit of a edge and my release, you know, in that department. But I've coached the girls team for 4 years, going on. Actually, I guess I'm starting my fourth year now. And coached boys when I first got here, transitioned over to girls, and I have enjoyed it and really like it. And it does. It takes up some time. You know, we start practice at 4:45. So from the time school's out at 3 o'clock to 4:45, you know, I got a little bit of downtime in there, and we typically sometimes we'll do film, or we'll do a study hall in between there with the girls. They'll come up here and do some in the classroom type work. But other than that, yeah, we're going, and we got a full season. In fact, we're after it today, later this afternoon, and season officially starts November 1st. We're doing some conditioning stuff this week and so on. But yeah, coaching girls basketball, I've enjoyed it. And that's one thing I do like about being in the private school side of things, is it still allows me to jump in there and get in the mix with the kids from a coaching standpoint.
Well, yeah. And you mentioned this as well, kind of the number of hats that you have to wear, particularly in that private school setting. Is it difficult kind of juggling between the titles and the duties of a coach and athletic director, and kind of drawing that line where it's like, or are you always wearing the athletic director hat just in a coaching suit, maybe, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dealing with other coaches and things like that, it can be, you know, it's always got to be athletic director hat. Dealing with the players and whatnot within the athletic program, it's a little bit of both. You know, you always kind of want to let everybody know that, hey, you know, I got my AD hat on today. Here's that. However, like, you can come and talk to me as another coach. If you want to vent about, you know, this or that, like, I always want to be available. For my girls, on the other hand, it's, you know, that it's tough. They often don't see the AD hat. They see the coach hat. Sure. More so than anything else. And it takes an adjustment to get used to, you know, in some things, and they want to know why we can't do it. And, you know, it's just our team. Well, we can't do it on our team, because if I did it on our team, then I have to allow every other team to do it and things like that. And so,
right.
You know, there's those different things that people don't understand that are behind the scenes that, you know, you have to say, all right, hey, look, you know, if we do something this way, then I've got to allow that opportunity out to everybody else, which we don't allow that opportunity. So then we can't do this or we can't do that. And so, you know, sometimes they don't see it, but wearing those hats and maintaining that throughout our athletic department isn't super difficult. The major thing that I always have a hard time with is putting on my coach hat when dealing with parents. Am I coach or am I the AD? Mm-hmm. You know, and then if I'm not dealing, let's say I have a coworker or a teacher or an administrator within our school that their child plays sports for us. You know, you know what it's like. You can communicate one way with coworkers that you maybe couldn't communicate in that way with a parent, but right. Now they're both of them. And so sometimes, again, I got to take that head off. Am I coworker right now, or am I a parent that they're venting about, you know, something within the athletic department, or, you know, an issue with a coach or something like that. So it is hard. But, you know, recently on my podcast, which I'm sure we'll probably get to at some point there, yeah. But I had Kevin Schneider, who's kind of a motivational, athletic-minded speaker. Mm-hmm. And he kind of related out there as like, you know, hey, you got 25 hats. I see hats behind you right now, Wesley.
Right.
You're not going to walk up and put all, you know, 8 of those hats on and wear them out of the house. Mm-hmm. You got to be diligent at taking one off and putting on another, because you just look silly if you're wearing all these hats.
Right.
And even as a, you know, he's a guest of mine. I'm hoping to spread some information to ADs listening. I learned something out of that one. And it's like, yeah, you got to take a hat off in order to put a hat on. If not, you're just going to look silly. And so that is one thing that I've learned. And as if I could help younger athletic directors or even coaches, like, hey, take the hats off, put the other hat on. Don't try to wear them all at the same time, because you're just going to look silly and it's not going to work out.
Yeah, and I also think that there's an interesting dichotomy there, and I love that metaphor with the hats thing. And when you kind of put it in there, it kind of makes it really cut and dry, right? Makes it pretty clear on that point. But yeah. On that same topic, with that dichotomy between the coach and the athletic director position in regards to the referees and assignments there, and I think does that change at all? Because again, you're kind of hiring these referees from an AD perspective, I imagine, but you know, you're also kind of jockeying for calls too at the same time as a coach, right?
Yeah, that's gotten me in trouble. And I don't know if I'm the only coach in America, but I don't like officials. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with any of their calls. Now, you know, like, it's just a typical stuff. Like, you know, yeah. If it's a call against my team and I don't agree with it. If it's a call for my team, then I 100% agree with it. So, but at the same time, it has been difficult because when they're the first ones, when they're walking in the gym, I'm the first one they meet. Mm-hmm. Hey, how are you? Let me take you to your room, blah, blah, blah. And then it's ready for tip and they're about to see me on the sideline. And so that is a major, and this is just something I'm continuously working on, is kind of helping between the two, or mm-hmm. kind of, you know, kind of helping myself in a sense of saying, hey, you know what? Hey, at the end of the game, I got to be able to talk to this guy because I'm about to hand him his check. If I lose my mind on him because he made a bad call, or do I just let him go anyway? And one of the big things is, you know, I just look at it as this, like, hey, it's all a judgment call, right? So if they make a bad decision, first of all, they're not going to reverse it. No, what official has ever reversed a call except for in the major leagues and the big professional leagues, because they have all these, and somebody's in their ear telling them that, hey, this was a bad call, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it's kind of like that Jaguars Patriots game, you know, where
here we go.
No, I'm just kidding. I told you how to find a way to bring that up.
There we go. Yeah.
But again, they're not going to reverse the call. So I have to, in my back of my head, is like, hey, not only am I the athletic director, am I going to pay them at the end of the game here? I just, you know, I'm the first person they're going to see as they walk in the gym. But hey, just relax. We'll get a call another time. I'll mention it to them or something like that. And so that has been something that I've had to adjust to. And one of the big things is, you know, I'm standing on the sideline coaching, you know, and a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, I'm 6'8", almost 300 pounds. I'm a massive person on the sideline, and these referees, maybe what, 5'4", 5'5", you know, I'm towering over them, and the way that I approach and things like that, you have to take that approach of being very professional in every aspect. And even as I do coach and deal with the officials, in the back of my head is I'm the athletic director. And so that has been a challenge, and it probably always will be a challenge no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. If I'm coaching, that's going to be something that I have to adjust to.
Yeah, I think maybe a little piece of advice here. You know, when you go and meet all these referees and you kind of send them to their locker room or their assignment room for the evening, just have like a fruit basket or something there to kind of welcome them in, grease the wheels a little bit. Maybe some of those calls will go your way the next time for the home games, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the unfortunate thing in Raleigh is, I mean, you might have them at home, but you're going to see them away too. And that's the thing. So it's like, you know, I'll see a referee come into a home game and I'm like, oh man, I just gave this guy problems 2 weeks ago at our gym. And here he is again. And so, and that's the big thing I always tell my girls and any player that plays for me, you know, I say, look, I said, you got to be careful not to burn bridges, because at some point in time, you're going to have to come back full circle to that. You might run into that person again, or you're going to need their help. Same thing with officiating. Hey, they're at our gym and they made a terrible call. Well, if I rip them up one side and down the other, they're going to remember that. And then when I have them at an away game, and let's say it's a 2-point ball game and we need a call, they're going to remember that. And they're going to be like, oh, maybe I didn't make that call. Maybe I do. Like, you know, I hate to say
it, but get the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And so I try to use that as a life lesson to teach our athletes here that, you know, hey, just remember who you run into and how you act around them, because it can come back full circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this kind of segues perfectly here into my next question about just some best practices on developing, you know, student leadership, empowering student athletes, whether it's on the court and then transitioning to, you know, in life and later in life.
Yeah. Well, here at Noose, obviously we're a smaller private school. We're 2A within the North Carolina Independent School Athletic Association. So we're not the smallest, but we're also not the biggest. And one thing that I have found successful is as the older kids get, they the more responsibility that they want. They'll never tell you that, but they definitely do. Right. And so a lot of times, you know, I'll tell my captains, hey, here's what I need you to do today. I need you to relay it out to your team. Become that leader, even if they're not. Now, granted, first of all, you're not going to name a captain more than likely if they're not a good leader. Mm-hmm. So most of the time when you're naming captains of your teams, or and I guess I'm talking more from a coaching standpoint now, but you're going to name a captain of your team, it's going to be somebody that's either leads by actions, or they're going to lead by actions and by their voice. Because I've had people who are captains who, hey, they're not good vocal leaders, but they're good leaders and they lead by action. Mm-hmm. They're quiet when they do it, but they get the job done and everybody sees it. And so you obviously have that, you know, kind of the opportunity to kind of pick and choose, but giving them and being able to empower them with that opportunity for leadership is something that kids, they want that desire of responsibility. And it kind of, you know, and hey, maybe it's in their minds, it's I'm the man or I'm the girl, cause I'm in charge and coaches allow me to, and that's fine. Because at the end of the day, I can kind of keep that in perspective and kind of keep that in line with where we stand for our teams and our program here. But just giving them responsibility and giving them an opportunity to, communicate this out with your team. Hey, here's where we need to be at this time. Hey, you know, captains, come here. Hey, we need to be in the locker room at this time, or do this. And they go and they relay it out there. And they've really – I've seen success on our end in that. Now, granted, I don't know how that would work in bigger systems or bigger schools. And maybe one day I'll have the opportunity to kind of, you know, trial by fire in a sense. But here at Noose and even previous down in Florida, you know, it was a good opportunity. And our kids kind of thrived and had that positive outcome in the whole situation. Is just being able to have that level of responsibility and be able to lead with a little bit of freedom, you know, and giving that opportunity to say, hey, here's what we need done. Go get it done. And and it's kind of related over to the court, and it's been able to be successful in many different ways.
Yeah, I imagine this is the case in many other states, but I know in Massachusetts, you know, there are restrictions for how many coaches can hold off-season conditioning, off-season workout drills, and that usually comes into, you know, the captain's practice, right? They set the captain for the going into the new season, into the preseason. They organize the strength and conditioning drills. They organize some of the things, and maybe that's a workaround, the MIA rules as well, but it's also a great opportunity to kind of instill that leadership, that empowerment that you might be looking for out of your players.
Yeah, and that's exactly, we've done that before. You know, I tell my girls that when you get to the gym, I'll be in the gym, but it's your job to get the first 20 to 25 minutes of practice going. You know, we have our quick team talk and we talk about what we're going to accomplish today, but as soon as we break out of that huddle, stretching, agilities, and our warm-up drills, those never change. Therefore, what do you I don't need to yell at you, I don't need to tell you, I don't need to coach you through them. You guys should be able to figure it out. And so for the first 2 weeks, sure, I'm helping. And we really get to see kind of who are those leaders, who can step in and kind of help with that. And that's been really a big success for us is you have those players, those leaders within your team step up and say, all right, hey, stretching, here's what we do. Boom, 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 boom. And then they just get it going. And so what it does, it allows me and my assistant coaches to take the first 20 minutes of practice, kind of go over some things, finish off whatever notes we need to take or how we want to make our adjustments for this and that and go from there. Because we don't have to worry about the first little bit of practice because they're going to handle it. They're going to get things done and they're going to move throughout the first little bit and then be ready to go.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, I love the conversation that we have here and stuff. And it obviously shows that that you have an experience on the mic a little bit. You kind of teased this a little earlier in the program. But tell us about the podcast that you run here. That sounds like a little bit of competition.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm not competing at any point. I want to work together, you know, and honestly, my whole thing was as we went into COVID, you know, our quarantine in a sense due to COVID, how many ever months or years ago now, it seems like it's all running together. You know, I found myself, there's no athletics. There was nothing going on. And I was like, you know, I'm sitting at home. My wife is an elementary teacher, so she's teaching nonstop. I'm just kind of sitting around the house doing, you know, a whole lot of nothing. And I said, you know, I want to be productive. And so I talked with a couple other AD friends, and they're like, yeah, sounds good. But I don't have, you know, can't do this, can't do that. And I'm like, okay. So I got with a friend of mine out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, Tommy Brown. And Tommy was the athletic director at Boyd Buchanan School there in Chattanooga, who had been on staff on the women's side at University of Illinois with basketball, Presbyterian College down in South Carolina. He was over in Tennessee and an NAIA school there and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he's now kind of in the realm that I'm in, but he's also in his 50s. And here I was, you know, 29, 30, whenever, I think actually 30 when it first started. Mm-hmm. And I said, Tommy, I said, look, I said, you're not learning from anybody. I didn't learn from anybody. Let's put something together to help younger athletic directors kind of learn in a sense, but, you know, from a podcast. And so we got together and we started the Winning Way podcast. And it is obviously directed towards athletic directors, but also directed towards coaches. We have a lot of opportunities on there. And so we are, I want to say we're about to do our 25th episode. We're in season two. So we've been moving on. We started off really, really strong. And obviously, as real life kind of hits, those sometimes those things dial back a little bit.
Sure, right.
But yeah, so we've been going, and I think this last August was a because we started in August of last school year. So this past August was a full year, even though we had been planning kind of since we went out with COVID. Right. And we put it out there. We've had some really good guests on. We had Heather Macy, who is the women's coach. She was one of the winningest coaches in the women's side at ECU, Eastern Carolina University.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've had her. We try to go after athletic directors. We just recently had Ticket Spigot on and Dr. Danielle LaPointe, and she kind of gets on there and she's, you know, explains Ticket Spigot and things like that. And we have Pat Flannery, who was the coach at Bucknell when they beat Kansas.
You Love know, that.
He's now doing some consulting and some fundraising there at Bucknell. And so you kind of see the process of how we are. We talk about different topics, and sometimes it's just Tommy and I. That we'll discuss some things, and we talked about social media and how it can help your program, fundraising, dealing with difficult parents, like everything that you can deal with from an athletic director or a coach's standpoint, we do our best to talk about. And so you can find us on basically any platform that that has podcasts. We're on social media. It's my job to maintain social media. I am terrible at social media. Yeah. So our social media, it struggles a little bit. But we're on there. You can follow us on Twitter at The Winning Way. Would love to have some people come and listen and give us some feedback.
Well, I love it. Again, I kind of see this podcasting rising in the industry there. There's one that always tags me. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Jake Von Shearer. I'm not sure if you have any familiarity with him. He's done stuff with the Mentoring Minute and his educational AD podcast. Always, I've seen Scott Jarvis, who's been a guest on this podcast and has helped with coaching AD. Is another great resource. I'm not sure if you have any familiarity with him or on Twitter there, but he's another great resource. And if you're ever looking for a Massachusetts guy, you want another thick Boston accent to deal with, this is my guy, Matt Trahan. He does a podcast. Yeah. He's the AD at a vocational school up here in Massachusetts it's called Breakfast of Champions. Good football, basketball mind there as well. So I'd be happy to exchange some of those after the fact.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing is like, people are like, well, there's so many going on and podcasts are a dime a dozen. It's like, well, yeah, that's fine. but I listen to hundreds of podcasts, it seems like, all the time. And my thing is, and I kind of joke, say this jokingly, you know, I'm not a big reader. That's just not my thing. But if it helps me with professional development or helps me get better at my job, I'll read all day long. And it's kind of the same way I am with listening and podcasts. If it's something that I can pull out of it and I can use it and relate to it every single day, then I'm there. And so the whole concept of the winning way was strictly for ADs and coaches to be able to learn some things from it and to, you know, give some interesting insight to it. You know, I'm a young guy who started out at 24. I made a lot of mistakes, and that's basically what I can bring to the table is, hey, don't make these same mistakes. You know, Tommy's been coaching basketball since, you know, I always joke with him, he's been coaching longer than I've been alive. But he, you know, he can bring a lot to the table as a coach and now an athletic director who's learning the ropes at an older age. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our thing. And we're wanting to partner with whoever, you know, it's not a competition. It's making everybody better and giving everybody, a certain avenue to have that opportunity.
I love it. Yeah. And I appreciate it too. And again, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us here today, Zach. And I know you've already plugged this again, but one more time, where can the people get in touch with you on social media and the Winning Way podcast?
Yeah. So you can follow on Twitter. It's at the Winning Way. And that's obviously for our podcast, social media. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All my kids tell me that Facebook is fading out, that I'm old and all this other stuff. And it's like, all right, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Or Twitter is at ZTS33. And Instagram is at coach_ZTS. So feel free, give me a follow, give me a shout out. Love to talk and meet and kind of continue this concept of athletic director mentorship in a sense, and always looking to bounce ideas off of people.
Awesome. I love it. And then you'll want to follow our brands on Twitter as well. That's at coach_AD, at Train Condition, at Winning Hoops, and then myself, as always, if you'd like, at Wesley Sykes _. And you'll want to be following those accounts to get a first look at who our next guest will be. But until that moment, sports fans, my name is Wesley Sykes, and I'd like to thank you for taking part in another episode of Sideline Sessions. And thank you very much, Zach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right.